I think it is too much.
But
I don't think she wants to
come. Actually, was talking right. about and right. not catching the other person's points. So
that's right. Yeah, I agree. And you expressed to me the other day that you like communication in written form.
Definitely.
And it's hard to hear and understand all the concepts, that, especially if they're flying at you really fast.
If I'm the one asking the questions, it goes a lot better. Right. But when I'm the one receiving the questions, for some reason, it's just very difficult. Which is too bad, because it's a very important skill. What I was going to say is, I didn't just so what I'm concerned about is, you know, that the elders are, you know, saying that they think you're being divisive, right? Mm-hmm. And so, you know, that's a serious thing to think about somebody. And talking with you before this commotion came up, I didn't get the impression that you were being divisive.
Well, you may have an impression now, because
I was hoping that maybe you could kind of like say a comment or something on why do they think you're being divisive? Is it solely because you're talking about these things with other people? Or is there more to it? Because I think they were saying that there's a history of, and they pointed to like one specific, more than one event, but they pointed to like the time when Tracy was teaching, and during the question and answer time, there was some commotion, and which led to the elders and you going to talk at Kerrigan's house. Mm-hmm. And they said that, you know, that they talked to you about, you know, divisiveness at that time, and that you agreed with them that you shouldn't have been saying what you were saying. And so, and then you came back to the, in front of the whole congregation, and, you know, apologized. And so they're pointing to that event as, you know, there's a history, according to them, and so because of this history, that's at least part of why they think that you're being divisive now.
Well, I there's a couple points early. Let me deal with the last point first. They think I'm being divisive because I'm not agreeing with a point they're making. Because since we have established the fellowship from the beginning, it's always been a Berean type. We can ask questions, and they might be painful. They might even make the teacher a little embarrassed. But the teacher, before he's supposed to get up in that pulpit, better be prepared for all the questions. And so if I ask a hard question, and I don't think it was a misunderstanding in that event that we're talking about. And it's a misunderstanding in saying that Tracy can come and counsel my children because they're 18. Well, as long as they're under my household, he can't do that, because he's not going to come talk to my daughter by himself. That's just not going to work. And that was part of the confusion. And Kerrigan had straightened it out, actually, in my mind. Tracy kept saying the same thing. I said, well, no, that's not the way it's going to be with my family. It's not going to be that way. See, because they're shepherds of the flock here. Well, I'm shepherd of my flock. My family is my flock. And so I'm very protective of them. And I would never allow a man to come and counsel my 18, 19, 20-year-old daughter as long as she's under my authority without me or my wife there. There's no way. I'm not doesn't matter if you're an elder. See, that's the part they don't like. Because my eldership over my daughter is precedence over their eldership. When the Bible says in Hebrews 13:17, I think it says, obey and submit to your elders. That word submission is agreement. That word submission is to listen carefully. Unfortunately, that day, either he didn't say it properly, carefully, or I didn't hear it carefully. The first time that my disagreement came up, and I was trying to explain it to Tracy, he wasn't listening to me very carefully, I don't think, but he wasn't hearing me carefully. And Karen was sitting right here next to me. And he explained it twice. I heard it. I got it. Oh, well, if that's what you mean, if you mean that the parents can be there, then I'm fine with that. But then he kept saying the same thing over again. He repeated himself. Said, well, I don't agree with that. That's not going to happen in my family. And then he looked at the other elders and, you know, John's making trouble. Well, I'm not making trouble in the sense that I want to just be disagreeable. I want, or it should be, everyone in the fellowship is in agreement that there's not this lording over and you're going to come take control of my family and you're going to come tell me how to spend my money, and those things are not biblical. In fact, Jesus said if you want to be the greatest, you'll be the least. He said you're going to serve them. I came as one to serve. And so that attitude has to be prevalent there in a leader of the church, constantly serving, whether it's in word or deed. And not to rule over the sheep, but to be there with the sheep. Kind of like, you know, he's the one true shepherd, right? But then we have amongst the sheep, there are kind of like guard dog, kind of like Great Pyrenees, right? They look like the sheep, but they're guard sheep, yeah, or attack sheep. And so if wolves come around bringing false doctrines, then the sheep start barking. The sheep dog starts barking and warning the sheep. Well, in a sense, that's what I'm doing. I'm trying to warn the sheep about a false idea they have about how to do this Matthew 18 process. And let me talk about that for a second. Because Kerrigan said that I'm setting up a straw man. And a straw man, I think you already know, but it's, you set up an invalid argument so you can knock it down easy. Here's the straw man that Kerrigan heard last night. Ecclesia does not...
Do you need help carrying those? There you go.
Yeah, Ecclesia does not equal elders, presbyters. And that's not what we believe. That's not our view. Well, it is a generalization of what they've said, but where they've inserted to be exactly specific, I just quote right from Kerrigan's email. That part about then the elders take over, then the elders do X, Y, and Z, but none of that is in there. In fact, it doesn't specifically, so generally say, obviously, we're not going to have fellowship with the person anymore. But call them to repentance, they won't repent. They won't repent. We can't have fellowship with darkness. And so the person is no longer a member of the fellowship. Well, I could still go buy tomatoes from them. I could still talk to them. All those things. To put the shunning the way they're talking about, mark the divisive man, like I've been marked, then that's completely unbiblical. It's not there. You can't add these parts in God's Word. And as I explained a few times, for me to stand by and watch this happening in front of me, and the Holy Spirit's warning me, listen, these guys are doing something that's going to cause a great error down the road. And I think it's the same error that happens with most church establishments. You get a leader in there or leaders in there, and they take a little bit too much control, and they add a little bit of something in there that's not from the Bible. And then everybody just submits to it and says, oh, well, we have such a wonderful pastor. He's a good teacher. We love him. Great, praise the Lord. But they're not discerning what they need to test the spirits. You know, when someone's teaching it, I, for my family, I'm testing the spirits of this. I don't want my family to be shipwrecked. I don't want to lose any of my children. I already lost my oldest daughter. She's gone. I don't know if she, you know, if she's reprobated in her lifestyle, but she's far gone down the road of sin. And I don't want any of my children to be anywhere close to that road. And so when these things are coming up and I'm dealing with them and I'm trying to shepherd my family, if I see something or I hear something that's not according to the, you know, you walk in the Spirit, you get these flags. Oh, that doesn't sound right. Let me check the Bible. Oh, you know what I'm talking about? You'll hear somebody say something, and the Bible verse will come in your mind. And heart, right? Well, that doesn't make sense in light of this. Pastor, can you explain why you just said this in light of this verse? And the pastor should have no problem. If you're supposed to teach, you have a stricter judgment. If you're supposed to do that, then you should be studied enough. And actually, it's a very good system by which the men of God can teach. Your point? Probably not. Let me try to be succinct.
So they're accusing you of things, right? Being divisive, picking me and Dan for wrong reasons, right? Because, you know, thinking that you could take advantage of us, or you know, whatever. So, let's talk about that one specifically first. Where are they getting that from? I realize that something that could happen, but why do they think that was your reason?
I don't want to assume.
I mean, how would they know that was your reason?
I couldn't answer that, why they jumped to that conclusion. I could not answer.
I didn't think you would know.
It seems surprising. Very untrustworthy. They don't trust me because of this, what they're calling a history, when I had, you know, that's not the only time. There's been something like I've gotten, you know, frustrated with something going on in the fellowship, and I asked the elders, can we do this? Can we like have people clean up after themselves, you know, when they eat and put things away, and just kind of general cleanliness kind of thing, and you know, servant mindedness. I think that's good. And they kind of respond to that a little bit, but same thing continues to happen. And so I don't want to be personally offended because people aren't leaving out, but it's just a matter of, you know, safety and cleanliness and all this kind of thing. Let's just put our trash away. Let's get the trash out of the house. Communion cups on the floor, people walking with watermelon through the carpeted areas, and, you know, that.
That's a serious one. I say that because at my growing up, at my parents' house, we had watermelon in the basement. It was this kid's idea to keep them cool.
Right.
But unfortunately, we had one of the watermelons for too long, and it just
bursted,
and it had rotten juice go into the carpet.
Right. And you heard about
that? Yeah, the juice that they weren't handling wasn't rotten, but it can change,
right.
over time.
Right. Yeah, so I mean, those are just little natural things that you know, I'm sitting there, and I know the devils are tempting me, you know, and all this stuff to get obstinate or get, you know, to get ungraceful, you know, and but you know, if they want to use the word history, there is a history. The history goes back to this shunning, and that's I've had a spiritual struggle with this for. It's not been 3 years. It's been August. It would be 3 years, or maybe late July. But it's not quite 3 years yet since this happened. And so my conscience has been dealing with that. I've been trying to deal with them. I saw that thing that Tracy was teaching about going and counseling Jenna. They were using Jenna as an example, I think, as a dangerous thing. I saw that as a danger. And maybe I didn't communicate it properly during...
They were counseling Jenna?
No, during the teaching. He was using her as an example. Well, Brother John, I could, you know, go counsel Jenna, and, you know, she's an adult, and she's... And go, well, not without me there, you can't. And so maybe I was too strong in my reply to him. You know, I'm not allowing that
so
in my
family. It's more your tone of voice that was a problem...
Probably.
...than the fact that you were communicating disagreement.
Yeah, I was communicating disagreement, and Kerrigan was a peacemaker in that, in the sense that he brought understanding to my heart. Well, brother, I don't think that's what Tracy's saying. He's saying that, of course, if a young person is under their parents, they would still be, even if they're 19 years old, they would still be in communion with you or under your authority and that kind of thing. So he straightened that out, but then Tracy said the same thing again. And so I heard them, and when I said, well, you know, okay, I'll humble myself. I shouldn't have said that way or been disagreeable, but a disagreement is not a sin. Contending for the faith is not a sin. But if I'm contentious in the sense that I'm just blowing up and trying to make trouble to everybody, that's a different issue. But that's not what I'm doing here. That's not my heart here. It's never been my heart here. But I knew that the elders would see that email that I sent them as a possible Matthew 18 scenario for them, which is why I think they completely violated the spirit of the letter, which was to inquire so that the you two men could hear what their views were. And I wasn't trying to influence you to accept their view or accept my view. That would be divisive, right? If I set you guys up and say, listen, here's my point of view, and I want you to go hear their point of view, and now I want you to decide against them. And then we can testify them. Or testify against them in fellowship. That's never, ever been my heart. Never my intention for that at all. My intention for you to go hear the truth, right? From them, from the horse's mouth, which they did not allow by what they did yesterday. And then, if you wanted to say, remember me telling you that? If you, both of you, wanted to, that was you're in agreement with what they're saying, I have no problem with that. I have no problem with that. If that's what you want to do, I would still testify.
You said from the very beginning, in the very first meeting that you spoke with me in the kitchen, you said if you come to the conclusion that the, you know, what the elders' thoughts are valid, then please go to the elders and say, John has... come to me about this, please go talk to him.
Right.
So handing it all off to them to deal with.
Right. But I did not expect with the letter, which I was transparent in that letter. So they looked at the letter, they say, two witnesses, John has a problem with this, two witnesses, he's trying to bring an accusation against us. And so if we allow that process to happen, it could actually happen. Where three witnesses stand up in the fellowship and they do a 1 Timothy 5. Now, I've never denied from the beginning of this testimony about this situation that couldn't happen. But I've always said, I don't want that to happen. But I believe so strongly about these issues, about Matthew 18, Romans 14, and the secret elders, as I'm terming them, feel so strongly that I can't walk with the fellowship anymore. But I still have a duty, if I believe they're in error, I still have a duty to inform the fellowship. And so I've done that with you and Dan. I've informed you, right? The elders have cut me off. The elders cut me out of the fellowship. Now you're going to have to, the kind of like the baton's been handed to you, kind of, so to speak. You have information that you have to deal with, that Dan has to deal with. Now, Dan dealt with it already according to what the Lord's led him to do. He did not want to get any more entanglement in this process at all. He's already made a decision to not continue in fellowship. I'm not trying to influence you to that at all. That's completely, you let let the Lord, I keep saying that, you let the Lord lead you on this, brother. Don't let me influence you or persuade you. Here's the facts of the emails. My question is, this meeting that's going to happen tomorrow, will they bring these letters forward? Will they let the men of the fellowship look at the letters? Here's what John wrote. Here's the first letter. And it had, you know, some Peter's stuff in there, okay? But mostly the Matthew 18, Romans 14, secret elder thing. And then their reply to that they would not meet with me, okay? Then I found the historical record about what they mean by Matthew 18, all right? And then the final letter going out to them, which they did not respond to, with an email, as I requested. What they did was, they went behind my back and went to the testators. They went to the men giving the testimony. And they subverted a godly principle that was in that email.
I'm sorry, I'm not following that current.
That's okay.
Thing. They went to, are you talking about them going to me and Dan?
Yes. Because it was very specific in the email that we would have a meeting at a certain time.
No, we weren't testifying to anything. We were just going to be asking questions.
No, I'm sorry. Yeah. I said that. I misstated that. What I mean is that you are witnesses to hear their testimony, right? And based on how you received it and what you believed about what they were saying, you might stay with them or you might not. Obviously, if you didn't, then one or both of you would be on what I believe is the biblical side, and we would give a testimony about that. Now, that is not my heart. My heart, I don't want that. I want the elders to repent. They need to repent of this doctrine they've created. It's an imagination of men. Think of it like this, brother. When
they were, sorry to interrupt.
It's okay.
If this is okay to interrupt time. They were saying that you were not interested in just getting more information to try to figure it out, that your intention was to have them change their mind to your view, and so
how did they do that? That's a mouthful you just said. How do they know that's my intention now, when they won't allow the meeting to find out my intention? Just saying. If they've heard me before on one occasion that they recorded, and then on several times I would, after them, which they would not allow a discussion, it would just be, brother, we've already talked to you about this, we're not going to talk to you anymore about it. That really wouldn't be, you can't count that as many times telling me that we're not talking about this anymore. It does not count as a discussion. If I need to have 12 discussions, well, labor with me, brother, help me understand here. And they haven't had 12. They have not had 12 open and honest discussions about this. I guess the question becomes, why couldn't we discuss it among the members as I originally proposed? My original proposal to Kevin and Kerrigan was, this even before Tracy was selected as an elder, my original proposal was to listen, brother, we need to sit down as a fellowship.
Sorry.
No, it's okay. So that was, you know, in that letter, that historical letter there from August 2015, I asked that question. Brother, we need to sit down and talk about these things as a fellowship, because it's something we all need to agree on. This is not what I believe the Bible says, and if we open up the floor, everybody may have disagreement. The elders are saying this. Now, either we submit ourselves to that idea that the elders are submitting, or not concocting, the elders have come up with, then it's unfair to kind of keep it so secret that nobody even is even aware what's happening when these things happen. When the Franklin thing happened, did the fellowship realize? It was explained to them afterwards, but is that what we want it to look like? No, I submit to you, it's not what we want it to look like, because it's too quick to cut it off. It's too quick. Let's have an open discussion about it. Well, why would, you know, maybe Angela Franklin has a good point. Maybe we should be more modest in our dress. Why do we need pink frilly dresses that you know, draw the attention of people? Why do we need to put a bunch of makeup on? Why do we really need that? Can't we come to an agreement as a group? Now, to have the elders put it on us is a different issue. Or to have anybody in the fellowship, like Angela was doing, put something upon you and say you're sinning. But we should have agreement. It can't just be the elders arbitrarily, subjectively saying, we can't have makeup as a preference. We can watch whatever movies, the movies that we want to watch. I'll retract the whatever. We can watch whatever movie. We'll watch what movies that we want to watch, as long as we don't believe they're sinful. Even though somebody in the fellowship has shown us that a movie is sinful, we're still going to watch it anyway, because our entertainment is more important than the truth. Now, they wouldn't say it like that, of course, but anyway. Difficult situation. I think what happened with them going behind the spirit of the letter, behind me, and spiritually bullying you and Dan was very telling about why this whole thing needs to be opened up for discussion in fellowship, whether I'm there or not. Why can't we discuss the letters that went back and forth between you and John? Why can't we discuss these ideas about Matthew 18? Why does it have to be that way? Why are you adding words to God's word? It's simple private interpretation. No, it's simple non-private interpretation. It's a public interpretation, simple interpretation. And just because you know Greek and definitive articles and all those things doesn't mean you can change the meaning of it. Don't create a tradition. Let's not create traditions of men. And, you know, I wanted to point this out that and they had told me this before. I think it was Kevin that brought it up. Hey, brother, well, imagine we have 2,000 people here. What would Matthew 18 look like? Well, it's your imagination. Matthew 18 would look like just like the Bible says. You have 2,000 people there, you got microphones, and saints of God, we have a Matthew 18 situation. Saint so-and-so and saint so-and-so is coming up to give their testimonies now. Yeah, I was out on the boardwalk the other day and I saw so-and-so with another woman. And I went to, you know, last week, and I went to him, and I admonished him to repent of his adultery against his wife and children, and called him to repentance. And he refused. And he told me to go to HE Double Toothfix. Then I went and got a second witness, my brother here, and we went back to him, and he rejected it again. And so now we're here to call him to repentance in front of the church. And now let Saint B give his testimony. Now, think about this now. Sinner A is sitting in the middle of the congregation with his wife and children, all heads turned to him. Do you think the church would cause a fear in a sinner's heart? Because the Holy Ghost, we're talking about 2,000 saints now. They're all sitting there and they hear, brother so-and-so is living in adultery against his wife and children. And everybody knows where brother so-and-so is. They all turn together to brother so-and-so. And they hear the rest of the testimony. That's how I imagine it. Well, that's how the Bible says it's supposed to be done. Whether it's 20 people or 20,000 people would make a difference. Maybe it's a little more practical than a smaller fellowship, but that doesn't make any difference at all. Practicality is not the standard. Your imagination is not the standard. The Bible's the standard. So,
I think what because he did bring that up, what he was saying was regarding having dialogue going on during the third step of Matthew 18, that to have each person in that 2,000 group dialoguing Because you can't give some people the chance to dialogue and reject other people that like to have partiality or and so but let's say, you know, so there's that, and then if only not everybody wanted a dialogue, but they heard enough and they just disagree on whether the person should be shunned or not. You know, so with 2,000 people,
it's going to be hard.
Possible. Yeah.
That's a good reason not to have a fellowship of 2,000 people. I think it's pretty biblical to have a fellowship in a home. Stop building these buildings. I fell into the trap of building that addition because we needed a bigger building. The better way to go is to, you know, amiable split of love. You know, like cells divide naturally in a body. There's none of this twisting and warping stuff, but actually just, okay, brother so-and-so, the Lord's really been maturing you the last few years. You're a servant of the Most High God. Take this group of people and these guys start meeting in your house. And that raises up disciple makers, because within a fellowship, our goal is to see the Lord multiply us, right? And then as He multiplies us, we naturally divide. We don't stay to where you get 50 or 60 people in one house, and then it becomes very hard. You know, it becomes hard to even walk through the house. Or you go out, you meet outside, whatever makes sense. But eventually, there's going to have to be a natural division. Now, obviously, your sister churches, you'd still see each other, you'd still talk. Your elders of each set would be talking and meeting regularly, that kind of thing. And having men's breakfast or whatever, you know, you wanted to do. But I can't imagine a 2,000-person fellowship like we see in these churches today and being something that's workable and doable. God doesn't want to spend a bunch of money on buildings that are going to be empty most of the time. They just are. Unless you're going to meet every day. If you're meeting every day, that might justify it. But otherwise, if you're meeting once or twice a week, whole big building, the expense of all that, it's not justified by that. No. Anyway, that's my belief. I think there's some biblical evidence for it, but I haven't studied it out enough. But that's what I'm, by faith, I'm believing that, how a fellowship should grow and mature and split. So you have one splitting into two splitting into four splitting into eight, and that's where it goes. And before you know it, there's little fellowships all up and down the ridge, and they're all over the county, and they're all over the state. And they're not non-denominational. They're not Methodist or this. They're Christian. And they're small, and they're vital, and they have a lot of good ministry going in through them, and they go out and preach and all those things that we should be doing. So, yep. And I know, brother, that we're not all going to be in the same place at the same time. I understand that. I get that.
That's where maturity goes.
Yeah, maturity levels, understanding, experience, communication abilities, understanding abilities. Those things are all factors that affect each of us. And so, Romans 14, it helps me understand, well, that brother's not there yet. I don't go over and separate myself from him because he's believing pre-trib right now. I let him discuss it. Still a Christian. He'd still be part of our fellowship. He doesn't agree with pre-trib. That's just a doctrine. He doesn't agree with PNR yet. Well, let's discuss it. It's open. It's dynamic. People, as long as you don't get nasty with each other, you're civil towards each other, and let's go for breaking the iron. Right? Iron sharpens iron. Well, sometimes some sparks fly when you do that. And that's okay. It's okay to get, you know, to be zealous for your view, as long as you're temperate in the way you're demonstrating it. Unfortunately, I haven't always been temperate, you know. I want to be. Definitely want to be. And so, you have another question?
Yes. Can I get you some water?
Okay. Thanks.
Or a different kind of drink.
You drink Coke? Repent, brother.
No, I was about to say kombucha, but then I remembered you don't drink kombucha.
Yeah, I don't drink kombucha. I don't consider it a sin to you, Romans 14.
Otherwise, I have it's my favorite food. I was just telling my family that if I had one food for the rest of my life, I had found what it would be. I'll show it to you.
Okay.
If you don't want it, that's okay. I just...
All right.
Well, I'm willing to
consider it. And I think it would go with whatever diet anybody's on.
Are you guys happy with the South? I really like this house.
We are. There is some heat to it, but it's a comfortable amount.
Yeah, I'll try some. Yeah, buddy. Got some hot dogs going there?
Well, you know, it's so good, I just eat it straight.
Yeah, that's right.
But, okay.
Yeah.
I think if I have any extra time, I gotta spend it on making sure we don't mess up with this calf.
System with our fish tank. They set the fish tank, and with that have a maybe an A-frame thing, but at least one like 4-inch pipe with a pump that pumps the water back to the tank, clean water. So the fish water, the tank water, comes down here. It travels through gravel down to here. Gets pumped back up to the filter up here. Charcoal filter and all that stuff. And there's pea gravel on the bottom of it. So they grow on the pea gravel, and then, of course, the fish waste, the nitrogen from that, the nitrates, the nitrites and the nitrates will grow some good vegetables for you. And so we think about doing that, just as kind of an experiment, you know. Not bad, eh?
It's hard to just have a little bit for me because it's so good, and I don't pace myself. See, we buy it by the case through the buying club,
Okay. And
so if I run out, I have to wait until the buying club order comes in. So
right.
I try to pace myself.
Is there a standard you're talking about?
I want to say it's UNFI. United.
Oh.
United.
Okay. How do you train your cats, your indoor cats, to stay on the counters? They just do.
One of them goes on the counters, but if we feed him throughout the day, he's better about it. So.
Okay, succinct questions, succinct answers. long drawn out questions this weekend.
Well, my biggest concern is, and we've talked about some of them, you know, is these accusations, you know, about being divisive or, and that kind of had several details like, you know, why you chose me and Dan, and,
okay, well, then let me answer that one. I chose you and Dan because the Lord led me to you first, then the Lord led me to Dan. I hesitate with Dan because he's a new member, but what the Lord confirmed it for me with Dan because he's almost like an unbiased, he's just coming to fellowship, he doesn't really know anybody, including me, and probably knows me better than anybody, but so he doesn't really know everybody yet. But he's got 10 years in the faith. He's been a Christian since 2005. And he's believed strong. I mean, it's a strong belief. You, because you're an older man, you're very calm, you're very meticulous, you're meek, and I know that's what I needed in this situation to resolve it, to bring it to reconciliation. But for me to be reconciled to the elders in this matter, in these matters, they would have to repent of these things. They'd have to stop running the fellowship this way with such a heavy-handed thing that they can't recognize what they're doing. And so, it's obviously they weren't interested in trying to hear out this matter in a way that makes sense. I think, not supposing an accusation here, but I, by deduction, I believe they could have felt threatened by my email in the sense that, oh, he's got two witnesses. He's using the term witnesses, right? And 1 Timothy 5 is obviously talks about two or three witnesses. Well, there's two. Here's the third, or the first, actually. And here's the two more that would hear a matter like they're being judged. Well, how would an elder ever get rebuked unless everybody understood? Now, something they did, I think, with you and Dan, you can clarify if they didn't do this. I think I heard Dan say this, but that they said, why are you hearing an accusation against an elder when it's just one person?
I think they might have said that to Dan because they told me Dan's understanding was that this was a Matthew 18 process that was happening. The purpose of the meeting was part of Matthew 18 process, and so where I told them that that was not my understanding, that it was simply to get more information.
Right.
Which, before I forget, that leads me to another thing that is pretty much an accusation, and that is they said that. Which I can kind of understand. It sounds reasonable that you are mentally capable of understanding them as far as communication skills goes, mm-hmm. capable of understanding them on your own. You don't necessarily need my help with any sort of, you know, clearing up a communication breakdown or helping you to understand their point of view, especially since my oral, I think my written communication is okay, but yeah, my oral is struggling, and so they're probably thinking this guy that's struggling orally, you know, to have him help someone who is engaging in arguments with sinners on a regular basis, right? That takes mental skills, communication skills. Does such a person really need help? And so I think that they're thinking, well, the answer is no, and so the purpose of the meeting must have been something other than just to get clarification, information on the view.
Well,
so
a couple things.
That seems like an accusation, doesn't
that's
it?
Well, it's a presumption that which would lead to an accusation, which is why they asked me why were we having the meeting. Well, the reason why is to seek clarification. Now, they can tell me all day long, John, you're very smart, you can figure these things out. But I haven't figured it out yet. Because I don't agree with it, I haven't figured it out. So if you're an elder, one of the qualities of an elder is being able to persuade people, right? You present arguments from the Bible and you persuade them. I'm willing to be persuaded if they can show me how what they're injecting into the Bible is true, but they can't do it. There's the gist. See, there's the problem. The problem is they can't show me where they're getting this. They're not telling me where they're getting it or who they're getting it from, excuse me, and how it makes sense. Now I'm asking them, listen, this needs to be exposed. This needs to be openly talked about with two witnesses, and they know that if it is openly talked about, then people will begin to understand, listen, maybe we don't agree with Matthew 18. They see that as kind of a threat, I suppose, you know, that I'm trying to threaten their authority or threaten their leadership. It's not the case at all. I'm trying to get them to understand that I truly believe that they're wrong about this. And if I'm wrong, I'm willing to receive the correction, but so far they haven't showed me that correction. They like Kerrigan said last night, we've shown you from the Bible. No, you haven't. If you'd show me, I'd be convinced because I'm willing to obey the Bible. But you're putting something in there that's not there. So there's the gist. There's the problem. Now, going to the thing about less mentally capable, that's carnal nonsense what they're saying there. Moses stuttered and God used him. Aaron had a problem with his speech. God used him. So God can use whoever he wants. I didn't pick you because I thought you were a smart guy or a dumb guy or a good speaker or a bad speaker. I picked you because God pointed you, me to you. That's why I picked you. That's why I picked Dan. You know, to hear a matter. It's not a hard concept. Can we judge all things? Obviously, we can judge all things. Here's a serious matter that one of the members of the fellowship, who's 20 years as a Christian, 10 years in holiness, been a part of the fellowship for 7 years. I've done everything I know how to serve them and to get along with them and to do all the things that I think are necessary for good fellowship. And it's been a success. Our fellowship has been a success. You don't see many small home fellowships like this accomplish as much as the Lord has accomplished through all of us. I think it's fantastic. But part of that accomplishment is because we were transparent. And we're not doing that now. Now we have secret stuff. We have secret meetings. We have secret phone calls. We have secret elders. We have secret this, secret that, distrust. Now, as I explained before, I think they really are having a hard time because they're entrusted with a very important position that they don't want to mess up. I think that's their hearts. And I'm not trying to subvert their position.
Clarification on what I said. They didn't say, Josh, you have poor communication skills. Why would he ask you? They didn't say that. That's something I added to
Okay. So simply what they were saying is, why does this smart guy
need anybody
to help him understand us?
Need help from a smart person or someone that's struggling? They didn't.
We'll give you a succinct answer. In the last 2.5 years since this started, the times that they've spoken to me about early on, it's this 3-on-1 process. Very intimidating. It's a 3-on-1 process. I'm being like, you know, bombarded with stuff like you felt yesterday. Yeah, you endured it yesterday. I've been enduring it.
Well, what was difficult for me, I think you might be able to handle it better because you're used to like an open era where there's a crowd and multiple things coming. But what made it challenging for me was someone would say something, and this didn't happen every single comment, but it happened several times where someone would say something and then another elder said something. So I would kind of forget or not fully absorb what that person said so that my concentration is on the next person. And so that's why I like written communication. I can't expect everybody to just do written communication all the time.
So. And why I was hoping that we could sit down, you could have your notes in front of you, and you could simply go down your questions, whatever you, the Lord, led you to ask them about these situations, they would answer it, we'd be done. They would either change their mind, or they'd say, well, we're going to pray about these are very serious matters, or I change my mind. I would now understand what they're talking about. I say, you know what? That's not quite what I understood yet. I didn't understand what you're saying now. I didn't get it. I've been thinking all this time that you just want to take charge of it and you're going to make these decisions no matter what. No, that's not what I think. I think exactly what they believe is written in that email from Kerrigan and Kevin, which is, after the second witness, the elders take over. And they finish the process in front of the ecclesia. Nor does the Bible say that. It does not say that. So they're exerting more authority, and that's a very important point, because it's an authority where everybody's like, their head could be on the chopping block, right? And so now they've determined there's a rebel, there's a sinner in their midst, and they circle the wagons and keep that guy out, no matter what, you know, don't talk to him about vegetables, don't talk to him about the weather, don't have a relationship with him, because he's marked. So, obviously you can't have fellowship with a sinner if you believe I'm, self-condemned and warped and all these things they accused me of last night. If that's true, then you can't have fellowship with me. They can't have fellowship with me.
The last time I talked, I had interrupted you. You were about to talk about how there was three of them talking to you. You found it intimidating. And then you had said, just kind of like how you experienced yesterday at my house. And then I started talking. And so I just wanted to know if you had anything. I interrupted you, so I was wondering if you had anything more.
I think that's another reason why the Matthew 18 process is set up the way it is. Because it's one witness, and then it's a second witness, now it's the whole crowd, now it's the whole fellowship you're dealing with. So it's kind of like warning, here's the body, now you're facing the body, and we got some questions for you. Now, in that scenario that Kevin was describing to you and I don't expect, because most people are pretty shy when it comes to public speaking, I don't expect everybody to stand up and ask questions. Only the people that are mature, first of all, would naturally do it, but whoever wanted to could do it. Right? Whoever wanted to stand up and ask questions, we would take the time. I don't care if it takes 3 days. This person's soul is on the line. We need to try and persuade him. I'll use Isaiah as an example. Now, obviously, Isaiah is Kevin's son. It's very sensitive for him. As it was sensitive when my children were found out in sin. So very sensitive with him, and he brought it to the other elders. Okay, I have no problem with that, except you shouldn't have brought it to three elders, you should have brought it to one witness, and then brought him before the whole fellowship. And if he wouldn't come, then you bring the whole fellowship to him, in front of the ecclesia. Now the two witnesses give testimony. You don't have three witnesses, the Bible never says three, except for the case of an elder, two or three. So it says two witnesses, and there's this intimidation factor, right? This thing that comes in, you feel like you are being ganged up on and bullied. You know, if I have an opposing view and I'm facing three men who are very intellectual, very smart, they deal with sinners all the time. So I have one person, I'm walking according to the understanding that I have. Okay. Show me. I'm not trying to resist you. I'm just trying to understand. Okay, I agreed with that 2.5 years ago, but I felt like I got bullied into it. My conscience is bearing witness. That's the whole point of this whole thing. They got to a point of me bugging them about it. They wouldn't, we're not going to meet with you. We've only really met one time. Anything else was just kind of side conversation. They weren't really anything deep. It wasn't deep. John, we've already talked about this before. So this would have really been the second meeting or third at the most. I remember one meeting where I felt like I had an opportunity, but I blew it. I got intimidated. I got fearful of men. So there it is. They I agreed with it. They were right about that in the recording from last night. You agreed with us 2.5, 3 years ago. Yeah, eventually you got me into agreement. But I didn't come to the meeting in agreement. I came to the meeting in disagreement. So did you allow me to really communicate what I had? Or did you just, and then okay, you're fine. You're right. I need to repent. Did you really allow free discourse and discussion? Or was this hammering on the door, into believing what we're telling you? It's like I told him last night, I can't do this anymore. I won't do this anymore. I'm not going to do it. Now, I'm not saying I can't be persuaded that my position is wrong. I could be. But as long as they're leading the fellowship this way, I can't trust them. I can't trust them. And I don't trust them. And that's bordering into feelings and all that kind of stuff. But
it's hard to imagine, given you and Kerrigan being knowing each other intimately for 10 years.
Well, not intimately. Intimately for about 7 years. Okay. We've known of each other for 8 or 9 years.
Okay. But still, 7 is a long...
Yeah, it's a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
It's a relationship. We've preached a lot of preaches together. We've been with each other in a lot of hard, tough places. And God brought us through. And it's a good point you make. You know, and I knew it would be part of the cost of this if this blew up spiritually like it did. Yeah. Instead of just allowing it, But anyway.
Before it gets too dark, I should turn the pencil on and make sure the animals are...
Sure. Do you have more questions?